What happened?
Hey, he's finally awake.
John? What's going on?
Hey, Bri-Bri.
Taser! Where the hell are we? Oh, why is the sky all dark and the sun is all black and...
Well, we're dead.
What?
Yeah, Hella murdered us.
What? Why? We're just innocent podcasters. Why would she murder us?
We're called the Mighty Warriors 3.
Oh.
Yeah.
But wait, if we're dead, then where's Valhalla? Where's its grand hall? It's mead and mutton and it's busty, easy women.
And speaking of busty women, what Valkyrie are going to escort us there?
None, that's who, damn it.
What? There was one left!
Yeah, and she screwed off with Thor someplace.
But, so, wait. So we're dead.
Yep.
Stuck in the afterlife.
Uh-huh.
With no way of getting to our promised eternal paradise.
Nope.
Did we at least go out like badasses?
Well, I lasted 6 seconds against Hela.
I lasted 8. What about you, Bri-Bri?
Oh, well, I don't exactly remember getting into a fight with Hela like at all. So maybe like 0 seconds. Oh, shut up, both of you! Wait a second. Where's Ben? How did Ben die?
Oh, Ben didn't die.
Yeah, no. Ben's still breathing.
What? How in the hell did Ben survive?
Well, here's the thing. He Heimdalled us.
What does that mean, he Heimdalled us?
It means he traded our speaking roles for a bigger part for himself and a part in a future movie.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, he's also sporting some really nice dreadlocks right about now.
That son of a...
You are listening to the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast Special Edition Review for Thor Ragnarok, now with less warriors. Well, no warriors, actually. Of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast for Thor Ragnarok.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, shout out before we get into it. Shout outs to Brian, who actually wrote that little opening skit right there. That dude, when I first read it, what was it, Thursday? You sent it to me?
Thursday. Funny enough.
Yeah, it was pretty great. So I was like, fuck it, let's roll with it. I thought it was pretty great. I love that I'm Heimdall. So that was pretty awesome. But anyways,
you are Heimdall.
I'm your host Ben, aka the Marvel Ziggy. I'm the host of this particular Pub Marvel show. Joining me is I'm guessing you have to be you're not Volstagg, you're Fair Dude, the green guy.
Fandral?
You're Fandral. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shame on you for not knowing his name.
To be fair, his character doesn't mean anything. Joining us is our Hogan. I know Hogan because he actually went out like a badass. Jonathan Cartwright. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hello.
And last but not least is our Volstagg. Taser. Woo-hoo! Taser, welcome back.
I lasted 8 seconds. I got two blades. Yeah, right.
Yeah. For those of you who aren't aware, there's a deep cut Warriors reference in there somewhere. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, for those of you who've been listening to the show for a while, it's there. So.
And of course, and joining us, special guest and long term friend of the show, our very own Loki, Mr. Kuhan. Kuhan, welcome back.
No, I'm Loki. Hulk. I'll be Hulk because I'm only here for the one movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he also walked into the show naked at first, which is kind of weird. We all had a moment.
Kuhan like fire, Ben like water.
Endlessly quotable, this movie, I think you'll find. Among yeah, other things so, we say about the show.
Yeah, so we're here to talk about Thor Ragnarok, and one piece of news, because it literally shakes the comic book foundation of our current modern day comic books. So we're going to talk about that as well, but you already know what it is. But for now, we're going to talk about Thor Ragnarok. We're going to talk about spoilers, so in case you haven't seen it by now, here's your warning. There will be spoilers talking about, including the post-credits sequence and all things containing inside Thor Ragnarok. This is the much-anticipated film ever since Marvel released a second trailer featuring a certain song that played at the beginning, thanks to two people. And we won't argue about that Trent Reznor's version is the definitive version, because let's be real, it is the definitive version.
There's one version.
Because I'm gonna probably use that version, but whatever. So here we go. This is Thor Ragnarok. Well, this is about the end of the gods, and lo and behold, I thought it was a fun mess.
Like, you called it a fun mess.
It's a fun mess because this is not a good movie. I will say that right now. Okay. I will say it right now. I'm gonna be the unpopular one. Like, while I did enjoy it, and I thought I had fun with a lot of it, I thought it was like, I think it tried too hard in a lot of areas. Like, I think it honestly went, it was a little too up the notch for me than what I was expecting. Although Korg the Krogan was possibly the best part of the movie, just because of how bland he spoke.
Voiced by Taika Waititi.
Yeah, voiced by the director, which I didn't know that, but like I thought, like I just loved his whole character. Like, he just seemed like he just seems like office management dude who just happens to be a gladiator.
Hi, it's
funny because, hey, I'm Korg, this is me. Like, it's funny because he says it basically every Polynesian bouncer in New Zealand, which is obviously where he's from, where like there's like these big hulking dudes, and they're like, yeah, you know, I can't let you into the bar. You know, you gotta go now. You know, it's you're fighting. It's gotta pick you up, and like, just like, dude picks you up and takes you out. But he's like so soft spoken, but he's just this hulking fucking bouncer dude.
Yeah, his voice kind of reminded me of Karan from Voltron, the new Voltron series on Netflix. Unless it's because I thought it was the same voice actor. I was like, oh, they got the guy who voiced Karan, but no, it's not. It's just a similar.
No. But they are both New Zealanders.
That would make sense then. Okay, I did not know that. So yeah,
Breeze Dobby is Karan.
This is a fun mess because I thought it was a little bit all over the place. I thought it was a little erratic. I didn't really like Thor's characterization in this because like he just seemed like he was high all the time. Like, he didn't have that stoic feel that I liked about Thor in the first movie. And I'm gonna say this right now: I like Thor Dark World over this movie as overall.
Wow! So, like, I agree 100%.
Like,
I think I disagree with that. I think I disagree with every word you said except for fun.
Like, yeah, it's fun. Yeah, like, it's a fun movie. It's fun. It has great set pieces. It has great action. Like, the one of the biggest complaints I have with it, and I didn't know I was going to have a complaint with it, was the Hulk reveal. Because we always, like, that was one of the things that got us hyped up in the first.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, it's like, that got us hyped. Everybody hyped up. The trailer was seeing Hulk and Thor and the Friend from Work line. But then when you go to the movie, it's like, you will challenge my champion, as Jeff Goldblum pronounces it. And they never show you to. So there's this air of mystery. So it's like, that would have been the best thing, to walk in a movie thinking, it's another mediocre Thor film. Well, to many people, it would have been a mediocre Thor film. And you go in there like, oh my God, it's the fucking Hulk.
I 100% agree with that. I think I want to live in the universe where the Hulk, like, or at least that big reveal of the Hulk as the champion. You could even show the Hulk was in the movie, but not have him be the champion. And then that reveal in the movie, because it's clearly played like a reveal. So imagine the world where nobody knows walking in that the Hulk is the champion, and then like the Hulk comes out and everybody basically is like, Thor's like, oh my God, like what the, like, this is amazing.
How did you get here and all this stuff?
The audience reaction would have been insane. But it's a catch 22, right? Because like a lot of people would not have been excited for this movie. It wouldn't have made, you know, 100 million opening weekend. It would have made plenty of money, but wouldn't have made, like, you know, it would have made Thor Dark World money instead of the money it's making right now if right. you didn't know the Hulk was in it. Like the Hulk being in it made a lot of people want to see it. Me included. I was going to see it either way, but I think
I disagree with that actually. I think that if they had kept it as a mystery and then for like the first let's say the Thursday night people, the Friday people, and starting with maybe the early Saturday people, that word would have gotten out. That would have made more people spread because we're talking, you know, people who are, mostly have access to the internet. You right. know, that would have really pumped up. And
that's true. Definitely, I think it would have been awesome if that's how it had played out. I think it was still fine, but like, I just can't imagine like the audience reaction of like, you know, 200 people in a theater like, what the fuck is happening right now? The Hulk
like,
in this movie?
This is the exact same problem that they have with Spider-Man in Civil War, where like you don't show him in a trailer. That's the biggest pop moment in that movie of he's just there. And I think it would have been the same thing for the Hulk, because it's like, who's the champion? Who's the champion? I would have thought it would have been Beta Ray. If you didn't show it, you could have led me to believe it was Beta Ray Bill.
Well, you even see Beta Ray Bill's head's even on the like on the big tower. Like if you it's Hulk on top, Beta Ray Bill's on the left, and then a couple other people. But if you're looking really closely, you'll see Beta Ray Bill's head in the movie a couple times. He's one of the former champions or whatever. But I don't know. The weird thing is because Ruffalo, obviously most of his stuff is gonna be on a green screen in a weird like a ping pong ball suit. But like even if you go back and look, like if you watch pretty much all of his scenes except for the one that's in the big crowd, all of his scenes are only with Chris Hemsworth, Tessa Thompson, or Tom Hiddleston. Like he does not appear on screen as Bruce Banner, as Mark Ruffalo, Bruce Banner, with anybody else. So otherwise, they could have just had like a dude in a suit, like a stand-in, walking around because you do not see Bruce Banner with anybody else. So really, because I was talking about this.
Yeah, but conversely, you also have the first extended performance of Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk.
No, and I think it's tremendous. I'm just saying that that if you know, this kind of thing is hard to hide, obviously, but like you only have to hide it from like with the crew and like these four main members of the cast who do not want to lose their jobs. So. Yeah.
That's
like,
true. They kind of put it out on Front Street because I remember you had the Planet Hulk armor out of like Comic Con. I think it was like what 2 years ago or something like that. That you were putting that stuff out there, and it's like, well, shit.
Because if you like watch interviews with other people, like I was watching an interview with Tom Holland the other day, and he's like, yeah, I'm shooting stuff for Infinity War, and they won't tell me who I'm fighting. Like there's just I'm in a suit and I'm fighting a dude, but I don't know who I'm fighting. They will not tell me.
So yeah, they could have easily done similar stuff. That's that serious NDA.
Hello, my name is Cork. I'm going to be fighting you today.
Yeah.
They could
have made people, led people to believe that it, you know, was somebody else, like Beta Ray Bill, like something, and then you show up in the theater and it's like, oh, holy shit, it's Hulk.
Yeah.
I think it could have worked.
But back off of that, I think we kind of agree on that motion. But like, seriously... there's a lot to like in this film. I'm not saying it's a terrible, it's like the worst movie I've ever seen. It's just, I think it was a series of SNL skits put together to make it seem like it was a coherent movie.
that's a big part that I disagree with. So one thing, and I don't want to steal this fucking show, it's not my show, but, I think one big thing is first of all, I think it was very tight. Like the fact that you are watching this, like that it's between two worlds, but mostly, you know, Thor's on Sakaar, and then you're watching this other stuff that's happening on Asgard. And like when you want the serious stuff, like as soon as you're like, man, I want some more serious stuff, it pops back to Asgard and you have this serious, you know, Cate Blanchett chewing the scenery a little bit, but still like this more serious Asgard stuff. And then as soon as you're like, man, this is getting kind of like serious, like let me go back to the fun stuff. Boom, it pops you back onto Sakaar and you've got Mark Ruffalo, like I'm like on a world that's designed to give me stress. So like I feel like it does that really, really well. As far as the SNL skit thing, I think everything, all the jokes are in service of story. I think everything's in service of story. And you know, there's a couple of like sort of pops here and there, but for the most part, it's all in service of the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe it's just me, but I didn't feel like that. I just felt like I watched a series of gags. It's all it was.
I just
like,
can't believe you rank that hot mess of a Dark World sequel over this.
Dark World was garbage. That's the other
thing. That was hot fucking
first
garbage.
Thor movie was hot fucking garbage.
No, the first Thor movie was Shakespearean. The second Thor movie, the highlight of that movie was Kat Dennings watching the hammer whiz by and go, mew, mew. And
both of those Thor movies are boring as shit. I've only seen them both once because I can't go back and rewatch them. They're both boring as hell.
I can't watch the first Thor movie again. Thor Dark World was a vast improvement over that. This movie gives you pizza, popcorn, ice cream, hot fudge chocolate, and everything all in one bite, and then, you know, takes and tosses you into a big shard of glass, you know? And I say that because this isn't Thor. Thor's not a joke. This Thor had comedy, you know, and don't get me wrong, I laughed a lot. I enjoyed this movie, but it wasn't Thor, you know?
I think I don't disagree with that. I think that's a salient point. But I think on some level, you know, I think first of all, a lot of it's taking our own preconceived notions as comic book people into these movies, like, well, that's not Thor, that's not Star Lord, that's not whatever. No, totally. I'm not disagreeing, you know, like my problem with Doctor Strange is that Benedict Cumberbatch looks like an alien and can't do an American accent very well. You know,
leave the good doctor alone.
I liked the film. That was the fine, good, but then you're watching him say really hard R's.
Yeah.
You're Thor. You want to go see Odin? Like,
okay, one, you're being exaggerated, and Doctor Strange's cameo is one of the best parts of the movie. There you go.
Oh, look, I'm wearing a Doctor Strange T-shirt. Good. Like,
see, that's the problem, though. They kept him as, you know, a hidden cameo. I really, not really,
because
we knew he was gonna. That was an expanded scene from the
cameo. Was in his movie. Like, there's literally nothing else to his cameo besides what you see in Doctor Strange. Like, there's like another minute.
There's some like slapstick madcap comedy where he keeps dropping things and hitting things, and you know, right, it's slapstick.
You see about as much of Doctor Strange in this movie as you see of Thor. As you see of Hulk in the Thor Ragnarok trailers. Like, in just the trailers. So, like,
honestly,
I
didn't see Doctor Strange. Well, to be fair, I only watched maybe two, and I only saw them on YouTube because I don't actually watch regular TV. I don't see a whole lot of commercials.
Well, again, the Doctor Strange thing we're talking about, he was in the post-credits sequence for Doctor Strange, which was the lead into Thor Ragnarok, and that's where we knew, okay, he's going to be in there. And that's the scene Strange is in. It's just an expansion of it.
To be honest, I had completely forgotten about that.
Honestly, that scene was directed for this movie. Like, they said, hold on, don't tear down the sets right now. We're gonna shoot a scene for Thor Ragnarok, while you still have the sets available, with Doctor Strange in it. So, like, you know, that was fine. But I'm just saying, like, you know, obviously, like I said, we have our preconceived notions as comic book fans as, like, what is Thor? What is Doctor Strange? What is Star Lord? Because Guardians pissed off a lot of people too, because, like, that's not Star Lord, you know.
But let's be real. No, the amount of Thor fans and people who know Thor more regularly are greater than the people who knew Star-Lord before Guardians.
No, for sure. No, but I'm just saying, like in this group, like it's probably pretty similar, right? We all knew who Thor was. We all had some idea who Star-Lord was. I think the Thor in these movies, you have to think about the fact that the times you've seen Thor in these movies, Thor, you know, he has grown and changed as a character. The Thor from Thor versus the Thor from Age of Ultron, and then the Thor in Ragnarok, like, you can see the progression of that character to somebody who now is making more Earth-style jokes because he spent time with Tony Stark
They've made him more human. And I can get that, you know, some guy who's not a god, you know, and who used to, you know, working and operating around a certain, you know, certain populace and certain behavior, whatever, you know, he comes here and he's enjoying himself. I get that. There's not a problem there.
He's drinking Natalie Portman and hanging out with Kat Dennings.
If you look at Thor in his first movie, you look at Thor in Avengers, you look at Thor in Age of Ultron, you get to see a little more of the levity. You look at Thor Dark World, there's not a whole lot of change here. Then you get this movie, okay? This movie is a co-worker Thor, you know? This is the guy, you know, like that basically was standing there in the ring going, "Hey, he's a guy from work. That dude, bro."
And I would just like to point out that line was suggested by a Make-A-Wish child, so Taser is in fact making fun of cancer kids.
I hate
just
kids.
To throw that out there.
I hate the children.
But this is, I mean, this is also 2 years after Age of Ultron. Like he's Dark World is before Age of Ultron. So like this is a progression of a character who is a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
I prefer to think of it as like looking on the bright side of things, because if we look at where Ultron left off with Thor, it left Thor. Granted, most of that was left on the editing room floor, but it left Thor in a pretty fucked up place where he saw the end of his world and now he's got to figure out what to do about it. I almost think of it as like that ending scene from Life of Brian where you're being crucified and just always look on the bright side of life. Almost, you know?
Life of Brian, huh?
Okay. Yeah, Life of Brian. Well, you know, come on, it's Monty Python, man. I know that one. I got that for my birthday one year. It was the most fucked up birthday gift I ever got. Hey, really? Here's a movie about Life of Brian.
Shame on you. That's a
fucking I love that movie, but it was for my birthday? Really?
Yes!
Regardless, no tangent! Get back to the fucking movie!
Regardless of any of that,
talking about something else. Oh, my bad.
I mean, I think it's good that Thor finally developed a sense of humor, because one thing that was always missing from those movies was a sense of humor. I mean, don't get me wrong, they had little humorous moments throughout, like the drinking contest from Thor 1, or the ride in the tube in London in Thor The Dark World, but this is one where Thor genuinely is, like, lightening up a little bit, and, you know, that's...
I think the character always had a sense of humor, but it was like this Shakespearean Asgardian sense of humor that now, again, after you know what, like it's been 8 years since the first Thor movie, like after this much time spending a lot of time around humans, etc. and whatnot, that he has developed a sense of humor that is a little bit more human.
To me that's part of the problem, though. I like that he's become a little more personable, but in this movie, it's too much. It's too much along with everything else.
I can see that they leaned too far into that direction of comedy. But on the other hand, like it's a comedy. This is clearly a comedy movie. Like
yeah.
And you know, maybe that's not what you wanted to see, and I get that. I don't blame you.
That's
what they did. They leaned into comedy. And that, you know, that's just not the Thor movie that you were looking for.
Because you know what it is? Let me get this one out.
Sure.
It's not that I don't like comedy. It's that I like having super movies that have humor in them, but a comedic superhero movie is not what I would want or expect from, you know, a Thor film.
Right. Know? Yeah.
The only thing that this movie didn't have is like, you know, sound effects like pratfalls and
or Benny
like
Hill scene.
Exactly. So, you know, I actually love the interplay between Thor and Hulk afterward, and you know, freaking Hulk trolled him. You know, that shit is funny, but that's also a bit much, especially for these two characters. You know, I don't know
that. Yeah. I think that's right in line with these two characters. To be honest, like that scene, I think with the Hulk trolling him, I think because this is a different Hulk than we've seen, because this is Hulk.
I mean, it kind of lines up, especially with the first Avengers movie where they're standing on top of the freaking alien thing and he's punching the shit out of him. You know, you just can't help but laugh at that. But again, it's how much of that. You know, it's one thing if you get a handful. It's another thing if you get a dump truck. And I think, while it might not have been a dump truck full, I think it was a bit too much, you know, which is why I like this movie, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I did Thor Dark World, you know?
Yeah.
That statement is a crime against humanity.
I've heard that from from other people who liked Thor and Thor Dark World, right? Like there's a couple of reviewers I listened to that, like, and one of the dudes, like, I watch Thor and Dark World like once a year at least. Like, I watch those movies regularly, and this didn't do it for me. I liked the movie, it was enjoyable, but this didn't do it for me. And so I get that this, you know, Thor was a different part of this universe that was a little bit more serious and a little bit more Shakespearean, and this is a departure from the other Thor movies, for sure. And so if you walked in wanting more of Thor, then you got this. But on the other hand, the Thor movies were clearly the least popular of the Marvel movies. Like that's unquestionable.
No argument there.
You know, and so they had to take it another direction to be successful.
Pulling the people to get the money.
Right. I mean, and you know, I mean, like, regardless of your opinions on it, which, you know, I think are valid, I totally see where you're coming from. It's got like a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, or 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, people love this movie. So I you know, where I see where you're coming from as a fan of the other two Thor movies, wanting more of that, most people didn't like them, so they got to do something different, you know. And this different brought a lot of people in, for you know, the three of us who were not fans of the other Thor movies.
Well, hold on, John John hasn't spoken, and I believe that John John is going to side with Ben and I.
It was a hot mess. I will agree with that.
Oh, good Lord.
Took two of my favorite all-time storylines and mishmashed them into Guardians of the Galaxy 3. But I want to say this right now. I went with my wife and my kids. They loved the movie. They absolutely loved the film. So that it accomplished that for that. I had to really separate the comics from the MCU version, because otherwise, by trying to jibe it with each other, I came close to wanting to walk out a couple of times.
Jesus and Christ.
Which is kind of sad, because I did enjoy the movie. It was funny to a certain degree. Had one of the worst Stan Lee cameos in there.
Oh,
I didn't find funny.
I actually thought the Stan Lee cameo was pretty cool, especially when Thor was like, "Please don't cut my hair."
Yeah,
yeah.
It was funny, but it wasn't one of his best.
It wasn't one of his best, but it wasn't one of his worst.
I don't think I really liked the Stan Lee cameo that much since like Amazing Spider-Man 1. Like,
I agree with him. No, that like, was one of his best. Yeah.
They're all pretty forced. Like, this is like, okay, like, we, you know, I get it.
Stan Lee did comics a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
All right, keep going.
His two best cameos were in Spider-Man Homecoming and in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. You know.
Oh, wow. Are we going to have this debate too, right here, right now, on this podcast? Are we going to do this?
No, we're not. John, continue.
We're not. I'm just saying. But,
That's a whole separate podcast. The Stan Lee cameo special coming in 2 months, kids.
Featuring a cameo by Stan Lee.
Whee! Played a ball. Let me finish here. Doctor Strange cameo, I loved. It was hilarious seeing Loki get zapped up. And then when he finally, oh, yeah, Loki, okay, here. I've been falling for 30 minutes. I'm going to.
That was okay. Fucking hilarious. Are you kidding me?
I love how he owned Loki.
I want to see Loki and Doctor Strange throw down. Oh, you want to fight, you two-bit sorcerer? Ah, just flicks knives out of his sleeves and is ready to go. Fucking love it. Oh, so much fun.
Ruffalo as the Hulk was good. I mean, probably one of the better ones. It was nice to hear Hulk actually, you know, talk.
Agreed.
And
Peter David-esque, some have said. Not I, but some.
I also loved how it was Thor who got on the receiving end of the nice little dragging by the legs, and Loki's like, "Yeah, now you know how it feels." And
Loki got super pumped up for that shit.
Just a big fan of the sport.
Yeah, that was a nice callback.
And what I feel like these exact same animations too. Grandmaster.
What was that, John?
Sorry. He's about to talk shit on Jeff Goldblum.
Oh no!
Oh, I'm not necessarily going to talk shit, but how did we like the Lounge Lizard Grandmaster?
I kind of liked it.
Are you kidding me?
I have no preconceived notions of the character of the Grandmaster from the comics. I don't know very much about the character. And Jeff Goldblum's always great in everything. So.
Hold on, Jeff Goldblum's the Grandmaster.
What was even better about Jeff, besides Jeff Goldblum, was his underling constantly anting him something to try to, like, kill that person. Like, why? That's not a punishable.
Why'd you get the melting stick?
Is Rachel House, who played the grandmother in Moana.
Well, not only that, but the character, her character Topaz, is actually a Malibu character.
That's true. Yes.
You know, I found that out, what was it, like 2 days ago? I was like, holy shit. But then I remembered, oh, yeah, because Malibu got bought out by Marvel, and then they completely wrecked the whole universe and,
like,
you know, whatever.
A billion years ago.
Yeah. Almost 20 at this point.
I think before before Brian was born.
What's a Malibu comic?
I'm serious. I think it's before Brian was born.
I just want to say I do miss the Ultraverse because the Ultraverse was actually a very fun.
I'm gonna Wikipedia that real quick.
It's November 3rd, 94. I might be a little off.
November 3rd, 94. Ah, year like and change.
Brian
off from
missing
when I was
his
born.
Hair.
That's close hell. Though. It's close.
Jesus. No, but I wasn't too thrilled with Lounge Lizard Game Master. Grandmaster, because he was the game master. You know, he DJ, and you know he had Aunt Granny with the freaking Granny Goodness with the slime stick, and he was an okay character if he hadn't have been the Grandmaster. That's really how I'll put it. If it hadn't have been for him, if he hadn't have been playing that, I'd have been cool. But he played the Grandmaster, and all he does is play Space Nero. You know, that was a waste. Instead of
fiddling, he does turntables. You know, that's just the kind of thing he does. I thought it was great. You guys are such downers, man. Like, come on.
I liked because it was just Jeff Goldblum being Jeff Goldblum.
Well, Jeff Goldblum's an excellent actor. Don't get me wrong, but you look at the character he's playing, and it was like Benicio del Toro playing the collector. I collect things.
Well, they're brothers.
Yeah.
Fine, but you know, we're also talking guys who can take on the Avengers, and I mean the Avengers, both East and West. You know.
Holy shit, that's a West Coast Avengers reference, boys and girls.
You know, there's none of that here, and all they are basically fops. And that's a disappointment for somebody who's used to seeing either name get spoken and any Avenger goes, shit.
Fuck. I mean, I was okay with it. Shit, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, the characters themselves, look, this is a Marvel Cinematic movie, and... So
right,
that sort of
exactly.
Thing.
Exactly. So if it's
but
a Marvel,
look, I will say it's
why hell
it's,
it was Odin's daughter.
The freaking Grandmaster should have a ship that's more than just a party boat. Which
he does. Hold on. He has plenty of ships. He just also has a party boat.
Yeah. Right. His own personal craft.
Look, it was a great movie, but if you're gonna argue whether or not it succeeded as an adaptation, I will grant you that in that respect it failed. It failed absolutely as an adaptation, but it did not fail as a great story and a compelling story at that. I mean, don't get me wrong, Fulhan's right. The first two Thor movies, I love the first Thor movie. It's classic. It's Shakespearean. It's everything you know you would expect from a Thor movie, and it was a little boring. I'm not gonna lie and stand here and lie like that. Thor: The Dark World was a mess and it has its problems.
Thor
the Dark World was great because Thor 1 couldn't put me to sleep, but Thor the Dark World could.
That is a very odd compliment to pay it. Kind of a backhand. But, I mean, come on. This movie was bleeding fun, okay? It was so much fun. I had a blast watching this thing, okay?
And so did I. But, see, that's the problem. I wanted my blast to be, holy shit, did you see that? Instead of, I had a blast, hey, did you hear what he just said?
Wait, hold on, are you saying, because I think the action in this movie was also very, very good, and I have not, like...
Oh my god, the action scenes were top-notch in this
film. And they were beautiful, and like, I'm not, because I normally, like, tune out during action scenes in an action movie. I'm just like, whatever, man, like... All right, some punches are thrown, whatever. Like, I really liked, like, the fighting in Daredevil, and since, like, then and before then, like, most of my stuff was, like, whatever. Most of my stuff has been, like, in the first season of Daredevil, most of this has been, like, whatever. Like, I don't care. But this was, like, the shots, like, the visuals were beautiful. The action was, like...
A nice, colorful movie. I'm not going to disagree with that. And it had good action sequences. However, I will say the two action sequences that stood out to me in this movie were that opening sequence when it's Thor against Surtur, and he's just doing all types of hammer shit.
Which, by the way, shout out to Clancy Brown, voice acting for Surtur. What?
Oh, really? That was him?
That was Clancy Brown, sir. I confirmed that.
Oh, nice.
All right. Yes, sir.
Two thumbs up. That scene was just jizz in my pants awesome. Yeah. And the Thor Hulk fight scene. That whole sequence totally worth the money paid to see it. And I paid full price.
That and okay. I paid $0 because I work at the theater. I saw it, I saw it twice because I can see it how many times I fucking want, homie. no money.
Hate Kuhan.
That and then also the scene on the bridge where Thor, like Lightning Thor, is just like destroying all the minions. Oh, like I thought that was sick as fuck. Like and that like again set to Immigrant Song. Like I thought that was
so fucking hardcore. Loved it so much.
And beautiful, like him like going down and Immigrant Song just hitting and then just like boom and then and the thing is that's the other thing is like those mooks all feel like they're actually coming like not just like a line of dudes who are like coming like a video game. Like it feels like realistic where like some of them are coming from behind, some of them are coming from the front. They're like piling on top of each other to try to get at them.
They're
like,
not doing that dance standing around behind.
Exactly.
The scenes
yeah.
And stuff.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought.
Oh, you
I
mean
thought,
like Jackie Chan movies where okay, I'm waiting for my turn to
like,
run it.
Like Kill Bill Volume
One, right?
In,
yeah.
You know, in Oren Ishii's club where you just
right.
see
and oh, yeah, I think Jackie Chan movies get away with it because the fight choreography is so good. Most action movies, it is not. So with this actually seeming like it was a realistic way that they were coming at him, and that yeah, that Lightning Thor at the end was. I thought was super cool. With,
okay,
with that
no,
fight.
I'll agree with that. You know,
okay,
especially,
and if I meant, no, I'm sorry, you're gonna continue.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, on top of that, I mean, granted, you know, you may not. I mean, the movie was just so like I thought it had a sense of humor about itself. Okay, and people were having fun with this movie. I thought had fun with this movie. I mean, who can tell me they didn't at least laugh a little bit seeing Anthony Hopkins as Loki, as Odin, with the Thor play going on in front of him, which, by the way, shout out to Matty D playing Loki. Awesome.
And
Matt Damon.
Was that Matt Damon?
That was Matt Damon.
I was like, you look like a fat Matt Damon, but there's no way you're Matt Damon.
That was Matt Damon. He was probably in the middle of filming his new movie, Suburbicon, where he's like kind of a chubby dude. So that was Matt Damon. Funny. That was Luke Hemsworth.
Yeah,
as Thor,
Luke Hemsworth
and then,
as Chris Hemsworth's brother is Thor, and Sam Neill as Odin.
Yeah,
I recognize Sam Neill.
I didn't recognize Sam Neill,
and I didn't recognize Luke Hemsworth either. I'm like, that guy looks familiar, but I didn't. But like Matt Damon, I caught that Matt Damon popping out.
He just looked just that different enough that I went, nah, that can't be him. But
Matt Damon playing Loki for the second time, ladies and gentlemen, the first time
that happened actually. Speaking of yeah, right. speaking of Jackie Chan, that happened actually to my dad in The Foreigner, where he's like, that guy looks like Pierce Brosnan. I'm like, Dad, that is Pierce Brosnan. He's like, what?
Oh my god. So much fun. Lest we forget, pour some out for Lady Sif, wherever the fuck she is.
Yeah, no,
you know what? She didn't die in this movie so that she can appear in later movies. Like,
I hope so. I like Jamie
the only,
yeah, but,
she's the
but
only,
she also She didn't make it onto the boat.
Like
she didn't make it onto the boat, so that means Charis got left on Asgard.
She
shit.
Could be stranded in Alfheim or something. Yeah, she's stranded somewhere like Alfheim or the Aesir or something. I don't know.
Okay, she's on Earth with a whole bunch of tattoos on her body, and she's working with the FBI.
is that the plot of her TV show? I have no idea about that thing.
Yeah, that could actually pass if she had her memory wiped and dumped on Earth and just like, here you go, humans, have her for a little while. So, oh, and pour some out for Mew Mew. Poor Mew Mew doesn't make it through the movie.
No. Which is odd because doesn't he have the hammer in the Infinity War trailers?
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping I'm sure that's just.
Like, those Infinity War trailers are just, like, lying to you. Like, that happens all the time.
Right, but we knew the hammer was going to be gone from one of the first trailers. Like,
I really want...
By the way,
yeah.
Hutt's such horseshit that I don't know why they... Because they... In the original trailer, you can see Hela. They're, like, in some kind of back alley. Yet now they're in fucking Norway.
So two things.
Which is some bad CGI.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. So three things, actually. So that was the only fight that disappointed me. Like, the rest of the fights, I think, were amazing. And that one was like, all right, this is nothing. So, first of all, yeah, that... green screen work on Anthony Hopkins, like, I'm like, this is just some terrible green screen. Like, I could clearly tell that he like just didn't want to leave his backyard and they're like, all right, we'll put a green screen up and call it Norway. But as far as the trailer stuff, so apparently originally he was gonna be like a crazy dude like in the back alley, and they were like, well, that's not that make like they felt like that was more sad than funny. So yeah, they changed it to Norway to be more true to the character.
So they didn't want to do a notable 90s storyline? Okay.
They wanted to give him a send-off that wasn't raving Stark, raving Mads, pardon the pun. And, you know, but back to...
But you're right, that CG was a mess. Like, it looked terrible. Yeah. It looked so bad.
The Uncanny Valley of said God's one, man.
Mm-mm. One thing we haven't talked about is Cate Blanchett as Hela, who is my aesthetic.
Oh,
like she was great. Like especially when she would put on
she did a good like, job.
I hate that she had to die. Like that's the only thing that sucks. But like I love whenever she put on the helmet and when she had the fact that she had her Kirby-esque helmet on for a lot of the movie was really cool.
A lot of the movie had a lot of Kirby influence. Like you can see like Kirby influence everywhere. Sakaar all over Sakaar.
You know, my only problem with her as Hela, and it wasn't her performance, it was how the story structured her relationship, you know, because I don't buy her as Odin's firstborn. I'd buy her if she was Odin's sister, because that's like a power dynamic that I can see working as the son and daughter from a Bor. You know, that works. But making her Thor's older sister that he never knew of is like, you know, some soap opera shit that somebody, whoever wrote this, thought when they was putting the story together would hate.
I'm sorry. So you're saying you don't like soap opera shit, but you do like Thor Dark World?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yes, exactly.
Because I don't think those two ideas match.
For the record, I like Thor Dark World better than this.
There you go.
Thor the Dark World was like General Hospital Marvel Cinematic Edition.
Yeah,
there was a bit of that. I'm not gonna lie. All I'm saying is
heat up between Thor and Jane, Sif Cass and Envious.
Odin
do when Thor finds out that he doesn't approve of their relationship?
This isn't the real world, okay? No,
it was a little bit though. It was the Dark World, motherfucker.
It kind of was the real world. I kind of see that exact movie just intercut with like MTV like shaky cam like testimonials of like Thor, like you know, Jane is really like trying to make
Loki's a bad boy and his mother's come to visit him for the weekend. You know, what are they gonna do now?
Okay? Either way, while I didn't have a problem with the whole Odin hasn't always been a nice altruistic ruler. He was, in fact, you know, the big raging conqueror.
That makes sense.
Exactly. I like that. But I think the relationship that they had between Hela and Thor, I think it works better if she's his aunt, you know?
I see where you're coming from.
Hold on. For that matter, why did Odin die and why did Odin's death bring her forward?
Ragnarok, because Odin was holding her back. Yeah, Odin was
exactly. So why did he die?
Because it was Ragnarok, and the story needed him to die. There you go.
No.
Anthony Hopkins didn't want to do another movie, so he cashed in his check. So
he did the movie. Even if he did like, let's say, 5 minutes total of screen time, he still did the fucking movie. But regardless of Anthony Hopkins, the story structure, there's no explanation as to why Odin dies. He's just, I'm going to die.
He's probably away from Asgard for a long time.
Yeah,
that's probably what it is.
I totally agree with that. There's probabilities and maybes, and you know there must be a whatever. Obviously, we know the story reasons, but there's no real in-story reason. I totally agree that there's no like it's never explained. Like,
you can extrapolate from like the first movie where he goes into the Odin sleep for a little while. You can extrapolate from there that maybe his powers are beginning to fail and he's just getting old, because they say up front that you know they don't live forever. They're not immortal. They just kind of
right and the Norse gods don't live forever anyway. And yeah, you also have Ragnarok and death and rebirth and all of that shit. But what I'm saying is, this should be a cause, and we're not given anything like that.
Yeah,
you know?
if there was at least a line saying like I've been away from Asgard for too long, or
Thanos,
you know,
punched him in the dick,
or like you know it's you know or like I you know I don't live forever, you know, blah blah blah.
I
like,
think what we're getting at the heart of here is that we really wanted to see Odin get eaten by Fenris after he got woken up, because that would have been a
imagine it's that somber scene. My sons, I must go, and then the obvious scene to see Fenris just drag him off.
Because the head come up from the top, like. Yeah, no, I
that would have been held true with mythology. But all I'm saying is, it would have been something if they'd actually given a reason as to why Odin turned into Twilight particles.
Yeah, fairy dust. Yeah,
you know, but like, what? I mean, seriously, you can't tell me that you didn't go, huh?
No, I didn't. You know, because like I didn't go home, but like I totally agree. Like afterwards, or my second time watching, I was like, yeah, there's really no like explanation as to why like why he died. I agree that it's kind of a plot hole, but like it didn't really matter to me for the rest of the story.
If
like
you,
I didn't
if you
even
enjoyed
know.
The movie, and again, like I said, I enjoyed the movie. That's yeah. fine. I'm just
no,
saying.
No, I agree that they could have explained it.
Big ass plot hole, you know, which is one of the reasons why I have a problem with this movie. Right, you know,
that's not an unreasonable plot hole, but you know,
not an unreasonable plot hole.
It's not an unreasonable one. No, it's not. There are reasonable plot holes to overlook for the sake of fun or plot or whatever you want to call it.
I'm going to be honest with you. I overlooked this one for the sake of fun or plot because it's like whatever. He needs to die for the story. Maybe
Odin doesn't die. What the fuck happens? Nothing.
Maybe they could have explained a little better why he dies, why he's going, whatever.
Maybe
but
they
like,
could have explained it.
Sure. No. Sure. No yeah. Absolutely. Maybe they could have explained it. But I don't think explaining it really would have added to my enjoyment of the movie at all. It's like, okay, cool. Like now there's a reason he dies. But either way, he dies. Like they just explain like, oh yeah, I gotta die now because I've
reasons.
Been alive for 7 million years. And I've been away from Asgard too long. That was keeping me alive.
And my
okay,
wife
now
died,
fit.
So, you know,
yeah,
it's
like,
time for me to be
yeah.
out of
and, oh, yeah, your big sister is coming to visit, so don't let her back on Asgard because reasons.
But that's whatever. Like, that is his life was keeping her away from Asgard. He has to die so she can come back, and he has to die. Like, whatever he has to die. Like, regardless.
No, look, if you guys enjoy sitting there and bouncing your chairs and went, hey, look, this shit is funny. I get that. Okay.
I don't like children.
You sound like 5-year olds, Taze.
Well,
yeah.
You guys are a lot younger than me, so I can say children.
Yeah, we're like a quarter of your age. I know, but
exactly. So,
but no,
I'll say that. I mean, whether or not you agree with how Odin was inevitably removed from the Marvel Cinematic, I think the use of him here was probably best. I know in this movie, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of room for Odin and the theatrics of father, son, Shakespearean stuff they established.
And I wasn't asking for that, I'm just saying the use of Odin
here was better. I was more concise and I think was more effective too. I mean, what you saw of Odin was basically either Loki pretending to be Odin, which was funny as all hell,
right.
I thought.
Yeah.
You know, you got the tender heartwarming moment with his sons as he said goodbye to them, and then you get his sort of picking Thor up by the bootstraps things like, what are you, the god of hammers? Get your ass up and beat your sister. Come on now, son. And that to me was, I think, a perfect use of Odin, because you kind of see the gamut of what Anthony Hopkins was able to do with the role.
Okay, enough of Anthony Napkins here. We're gonna move on.
Anthony
Napkins.
So,
okay.
Compatriots
so,
of Vincent Dorito.
To,
so, you know.
If you listen to Dragon and Turtle commentaries, you would know when we did a commentary, you gave a nickname to Anthony Hopkins. Anthony Hopkins, his Thor's shoulder, without the cape, looks like Napkins.
Okay, anyway.
But anyways, the other breakout hit for me was Carl Urban as Scourge.
Oh my
the
god!
Destroyer, aka the janitor. I thought he was great. I mean, Carl Urban is great in pretty much everything he does. Like I cannot think of a bad performance he's done, whether he's hamming up or not. I sort of like this sort of like he becomes the Heimdall. He inherits Heimdall's his position due to Loki being the king of Asgard. Well, not Loki, but Odin, I suppose, because Loki is king of Asgard. Just sort of like fooling around. Like, by the way, I love that they. It was really uncomfortable sitting in that movie during that AR joke when the day before was the shooting. Granted, they had no idea it was going to happen. I'm just saying it was.
Well, hold on.
They didn't know that
was going to happen, but there's been shootings happening for the last forever. Like, and
right.
I mean, to be honest, like, again, like I watched it before the shooting and I didn't even think about the context of shootings or even
it
the fact
really
that, it,
would, like,
that
no,
he got
like,
these guns from Texas, like, which was like,
that was the only bit, well, that's clearly a bit you're supposed to laugh at, but I was just like, I can't laugh at that. It was literally the day before. So,
yeah,
but other than that, like, he's great. He had his whole Scourge's last stand thing. He was great.
I think he was criminally underutilized.
I would definitely agree with that.
I think Carl Urban as a whole in cinema is criminally underutilized. Like, he's a very good actor, and this is always like doing like these like C parts. Like, it's like, why aren't you starring in anything good?
Remember
like,
when he was in Chronicles of Riddick?
Like he was like the only movie he starred in really like starred in was Dread, and even that he wore like a giant mask over his entire face. You never see him.
He was in Doom. He was in Doom.
He wasn't the lead though. Dwayne Johnson was the lead though.
That was shared billing.
I mean, he was in Dread too.
Let's be real. Let's be real here. It's Dwayne Johnson and Carl Urban. Dwayne Johnson's gonna get top billing. Let's be real here.
Yeah, all right, that fair would enough. Assume somebody was there to see the bill of Doom, and no one went and saw Doom.
I went to the movies for that.
You went to the movies for that?
I played Doom.
And again, that's the other thing, right? Is that nobody really saw Doom, right? And like he has a pretty big part in Star Trek, but like he's still like a C role in Star Trek, and he starred in Dread, but he had a mask on his face the entire time in Dread, and he had a decent like he was in Thor Ragnarok, which is a huge movie, but he had a C role in Thor's Ragnarok. He was in Pete's Dragon, but he had like a minor role in Pete's Dragon. Like he's in a lot of stuff. And he's a very good actor, and I like him a lot.
He's a working man's actor.
No, and I like him, but he has the looks of a leading man, and he has the talent to be a leading man, and he's just never a leading man. I don't know why.
He looks like an actor, pretty much.
Hold on.
To get back to what you were saying before, I agree that he was underutilized in this movie because the Scourge that we get that we know in the comics was dead a long time. This Scourge was a guy who basically said, "Oh, she just killed everybody. Well, I'm going to try to survive and suck up and try to do whatever I can to keep living." And it was fun to watch. And I got to admit this. It was fun to watch him get to the point when she had, all the regular Asgardians who don't know weapons or anything or wear armor or anything else like that. And pull that one woman, forward, and he had to cut her head off. And you can see, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this, but I don't want to die. So I'm sorry. Fuck you, lady.
Yeah.
And
then
he gets rescued,
And what's good? Like, what's good about Carl Urban is you can see all of that in his face. Like, you can see all that. Could. Like, you can see really all that could. Going through his head. And that's clearly a story that's going on there. But like, it's just kind of like you see it in like maybe three scenes. Like, all right, like. You could have done a lot more with this. There's a lot of interesting stuff that could have been done with that story, and there really wasn't. Like, it was just like, all right, here's like three different shots of like, oh, he feels bad about almost killing this person. Oh, like he doesn't feel so bad anymore because he's about to kill Thor. Oh, but now he's like, I'm not gonna kill people. He throws away the axe and hides like a gypsy onto the ship, and nobody recognizes him with this giant fucking armor on. And then he pulls out the guns and shoots the bad guys at the end.
I'm little old babushka. Please let me on the boat.
Right, in those five or six scenes that he has that he does anything, a full story is told. But like you really could have gotten more out of him.
And he also doesn't interact with too many people.
No, he has the one interaction with Thor, the one interaction with Loki, Odin, and then Hela. Like pretty much for the rest of the movies. Just
don't forget them tasty ass Guardian bitties now. Come on now. Showing off his pistols for him. Yeah, you
covered
in
dragon snot.
Shake weight.
Hey girl.
Shaking his shake
the
weight.
The fucking shake weight. Oh my god. Oh my god!
But no, he was fine in it. It's just his part wasn't that expansive, unfortunately. But
by the way, of the like eight Australians in this movie, the only one with a real accent because Hemsworth's Australian, Blanchett's Australian, like
Luke Hemsworth, play Thor's Australian. There you go. Yeah. So much fun though.
All right. But let's go around the corner. I think we've had.
Oh wait, hold on, wait. We didn't talk about Tessa Thompson as Valkyrie at all.
Oh yeah.
How the internet's in love with her, and I kind of thought it was like, oh, it's okay.
I thought she was fun.
I thought she was fun. I thought she was a good character. But no, I didn't think she was like anything like amazingly like. I thought she was cool. Like I liked her, and but she was just cool.
She was Carl Urban. She was a chicken shit who ran and hid. She just managed to find a better gig where she could just, like, take and, drown her concerns away.
That's not true.
Away.
Her girlfriend saved her life.
Yeah, and then she ran.
Well, I mean, her entire kin were fucking wiped out.
I did love her pro wrestling as entrance when they arrived on the Rainbow Bridge with the fire.
Oh my god, that was dope. So cool. I fucking love that.
Well, see, again, this movie, if anything, had excellent fucking visuals. So
can we talk about that shot of her past, like where like it looks like it's straight up out of like a
300,
like a painting of the Norse ending of the world.
I was thinking 300, but fair enough. Sistine Chapel works too.
Like I thought it's a beautiful film. It's a beautiful film.
I thought she did great. I mean,
swan diving under the Rainbow Bridge.
John, you beat me to it, you motherfucker.
John, what was that again? John.
How about when Mark Ruffalo did the swan dive on the Rainbow Bridge?
That was fucking
great. and I thought he was dead. I'm like, well, there goes Tolkien Infinity War.
You don't know who I am. You will in a minute.
It's funny because one of my coworkers asked me like, so like when Thor comes back, like if he can become Banner again, like is he just gonna be crippled? I'm like, well, no. In Avengers, he said he put a bullet in his skull and Hulk spit it out, so I think he'll be fine.
Like, well, I mean, you know, that whole thing was a callback to what's his name's Hulk. You know, when
Thor
did the whole sun getting real low treatment to Hulk back on fucking Cigar, and they ran that joke into the ground, making fun of how stupid that fucking was.
Sun's getting real low. Real sun's going down.
Stop saying that, okay? You're just making me more nervous. Just, so fucking funny.
I love. Okay, I'm sorry. That got the biggest laugh because it was just like, why?
Stop. No, yeah, no. And that got a huge laugh out of me and like my buddy sitting next to me, who like is also a huge MCU fan, and everybody else was like, I guess it's funny, but like they didn't like. I think because they just forgot that was like a huge part of Age of Ultron. It's like, it was kind of silly, and now it's just Thor. Like,
I think it's because it was getting real low. It was
the sun. It's almost gone. Sun's gone. No more sun.
This is when he said, "Hey, big guy." That's when he was like, "Oh shit, they're doing that." Hey, big guy. It's like, God, how do you know that? Did you and Black Widow talk?
They rehearsed it.
They did. That's it.
He heard. This is so. He probably heard it over the comms.
Oh yeah,
probably. There you go.
Yeah.
I think he was touching the way he was touching his hand earlier. It was just too funny. That's when he got the biggest laugh. All right. So let's go down to the scores. Final scores for Thor Ragnarok. Let's start with the man who hates the most, Taser.
I give it a 3.
John.
I give it a 2.5, but as a comic book fan, because my family enjoyed it, it gets a 3 in that parentheses for that.
Brian.
Dark World was better.
Oh my god, you made me want to punch you.
It's a bad movie.
I'm gonna go 4.5 out of 5. Pretty much, to me, what was a flawless, fun movie to enjoy. It had its problems, don't get me wrong, but the problems were limited and easily overlooked in exchange of a fun story and awesome action set pieces.
Cool.
I'm going to give it a 4.5 as well. I think this is slots into my top, probably near my top 5 MCU movies.
Yeah, I co-sign that. Oh, I co-sign that.
You know what? I completely forgot about the post-credit sequences, because one of them is really forgettable, but the other one's really great. So the first one, I feel like, by the way, the first one is basically they're on a ship afloat. I was assuming they were gonna like land in Oklahoma, because that would have been like a nice little callback.
Yeah, you got that too from the whole Norway thing, right? Like find a home for Asgard. I definitely thought they were going to Boston. Yeah.
And then like I kind of felt like it was super confusing, because like I knew it was Thanos' ship, but like people in my theater were like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. Because, like, I think they didn't know. I think that could have been a little bit better. Because me too. Like, again, me and my buddy were both like, I'm pretty sure it's Thanos' ship. Like, but yeah, that wasn't really like super clear. But you know, that clearly is supposed to be.
They could have had a shot like inside the ship with Thanos like smiling and like, or something. You know, Josh Brolin he's probably feeling Cable at Deadpool at this point.
Yeah.
But
I didn't know. Like, I didn't know that that was Thanos' ship per se, but I knew that that would likely lead to the sequence in Infinity War when they Guardians. Yeah, exactly. That would lead to that. So I kind of figured what was going to happen at that point.
Okay. Well, clearly Thanos is on the move, so
I do.
It makes sense because Loki's obviously holding the Tesseract, and so
he obviously stole it. Yeah.
No, that's
wait. Hold on. Speaking of the trophy room. When Hela's walking through the trophy room, she looks at the Infinity Gauntlet. She's like, "Fake."
Fake.
Fake.
Which, that made me laugh. I was like,
fake.
Oh, wow.
That was great, yeah.
I was laughing.
Fake news.
That was the most fanboy thing I've ever seen from any comic book character in a movie.
With that. And I
Because like I remember everybody bitching for at Age of Ultron. We're like, but wait a minute, Thanos' glove is in Odin's treasure gauntlet, and then Hela just comes in fake. Well, okay, Thanos is clearly the real one, which is nice.
But if I can just
so yeah, in the
Loki post credit scene where him and Thor are talking about where to go next, and they say they're going to Earth, and Loki's like, "Are you sure about that? Because I've kind of done some stuff, and they may not be that happy to see me." I'll be real interested to see how that plays.
Specifically, earlier in this movie, Doctor Strange trapped me in a fucking thing. Like, I don't want that to happen again.
Everyone knows who I am on Earth. I'm like basically like alien space kind of, you know, Hitler kind of guy. So you're going to have some explaining to do. Which, by the way, also, Thor, sick eye patch. Love the eye patch. Love it.
Yeah, that was a cool looking. I'll give it
symmetry.
That.
But the final post-credits sequence, which features Jeff Goldblum, I loved it because it was just so self-congratulatory. It's like, everybody did great. We had a good time. There would have been a resistance without me. Everybody pat on the back.
I was a big
yay
part of
me.
You can't have a resistance without somebody to overthrow. Like,
it's like it's a tie, and he just ends the tie like that. That was great. Like he's probably like I thought that was great.
Actually, I didn't stick around for it. I walked.
Yeah, it was
out
just
after,
the Grandmaster.
When Thor and Loki were looking out, and the ship, you know, comes in before him and stuff like that,
I will say Marvel's been doing I think a good job of that, where the first post credit scene is the one you need to watch, and the second one is just like a fun little thing. Like, so they did the same thing in Homecoming, Guardians, they did like seven of them.
I love those. I'll be perfectly honest. Most of those I actually enjoy.
And the Spider-Man one's still the
best.
And again,
you walk into Guardians expecting a joke, a fun movie, and you watch a fun movie, and I totally get that that's not what you wanted out of Thor. Although Guardians really fucking drags. Like, I like that movie, but it really drags when they're on.
There are long parts in that movie. Anytime
they're on Ego, that movie drags like crazy. And this movie I think never dragged, which was a positive.
All right. My final score for Thor Ragnarok is a 3.5. It's perfectly fine. I'm going to own it on Blu-ray when it comes out. It's just it just felt like a mess to me at points, but there's parts of love, especially the Krogan. And this is Steve. I think he's dead.
Mick's dead. I've just been carrying him around because I feel really bad.
By the way, I love that was Hulk's. I was a little miffed because like that's Hulk's warbound from Planet Hulk. But at the same time, I was like, fuck it, whatever, I don't care. This isn't his movie. This is not his movie.
But now we won't get World War Hulk, which is something I had high hopes to see someday, and now I'm really disappointed.
I mean, it was never going to happen because of the whole Universal stuff. If you take anything away from this review, it's that Brian and I are right and everyone else is wrong.
Damn Skippy, son.
Yeah, because that's all right, how things normally work out.
let's talk about the other bit of news that's literally the only bit of news we're talking about the show is because it's too climactic, too explosive for us not talking about it. And the fact that after 17 years or almost 20 years of working at Marvel Comics, Brian Michael Bendis has officially signed an exclusive deal to write for, drumroll please, The Distinguished Competition. Brian Michael Bendis, Mr. Modern Marvel, is officially leaving the House of Ideas to write for DC, which is a move that I don't like. Kuan texted me that news. And I'm like, you're lying to me.
Ben was like, you're lying to me right now. That's bullshit. Like, it's like, it's not April Fool's Day. And I'm like, no, this is 100% real, like factual. This is happening. He's like, what is going on? It blew my mind.
John, happy.
Yeah.
What was that?
That Bendis left Marvel for DC. What?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely happy. No more starting off strong and going off the deep end mentally when he's writing titles. I will miss his Spider-Man though. That's about the only thing I will miss. Otherwise, bye bye, Baldy. Just don't screw up Rebirth.
I'm definitely gonna miss his Spider-Man too, because I'm a big fan of the Miles stuff that he's been doing. And that's, I think, really all I've been reading from Bendis on the Marvel side. But I don't know. It's a huge shakeup, especially with there's been other big DC news that we don't need to talk about because it's not related to this show. But there might be a big shakeup at the top of DC too. And you know, we could really see a lot of DC becoming Bendis. And I mean, obviously, like if he's not going to leave a top position at Marvel. Like, he's not, you know, he's like the head guy there. Not like editor in chief or anything, but like he is like the writer that everyone goes to, and like he had say on a lot of like the MCU scripts. So he's not going to leave Marvel to go to a lesser, you know, position at DC. So presumably he's going to slot right in and be like, Brian, you can write pretty much whatever you want to, and we're going to be looking to you to work on the DC scripts too for the movies. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But like, I think that's a, you know, whatever your feelings are about Brian Michael Bendis, I think it's a huge blow to Marvel. Like
this is the man who whether you like it or not, created the foundation for the modern Marvel universe when he signed on with Ultimate Spider-Man and he did Avengers for so long. Whether you like
it
or not.
Marvel also, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because if especially on the Netflix shows, like you look at the Netflix shows, the Daredevil is very inspired by Bendis' run, also Frank Miller's run. The Jessica Jones was literally created whole cloth by Brian Michael Bendis. The Luke Cage you see is Bendis' Luke Cage. The Iron Fist is Bendis' Iron Fist.
Not a good thing.
You know, I'm not saying it is. I like Iron Fist.
Okay, right. You're just saying.
I'm just saying. It's
we know
fact.
Who to blame then. Yeah, fair enough.
You know, like and it's also, you know, on some level it's whatever it is.
But Fraction redeemed him. You know.
And it's Fraction. A lot of Fraction's run of Iron Fist too is an inspiration to some of that stuff. Obviously, the show is not up to the quality of whatever. But even in the MCU stuff, like a lot of that stuff is heavily inspired by Bendis's recent work. Like Bendis has sort of been the dude at Marvel, and whether or not you like his work, because I know that especially in more recent years, it's been a little bit more controversial. he's clearly an inspiration for a lot of stuff that's going on there, and I think it's
his legacy is not going to be forgotten whether you
right
like
and I think you know we'll see what the direction that Marvel goes in without him, you know, and then they've got guys, you know, they've still got
just open up a spot for someone else to step in and try their luck at it, so sure.
I'm guessing what we're going to see is he'll take over Batman, and we'll have a 15-year-old girl become the new Batman without being Batman.
Yeah, here's my thing is Brian Michael Bendis really wants to fuck Kitty Pryde, but Kitty Pryde is Marvel, so like, who does he want to fuck in DC?
Stephanie
Brown.
She's
got to be nice to her.
Yeah.
Is she Jewish?
She could be.
No,
she could
be.
Why not?
Yeah, he can make her. Why not?
He's right. It's got to be a nice Jewish 15-year-old girl.
Hold on. We're talking about new 52 DCU. So why not?
Yeah. Maybe, you know, Black Alice. I think she's technically Jewish, isn't she?
No, I was about to say Tracy 13, but didn't they change Tracy 13? I think Tracy 13 is like Asian now.
Batwoman, by the way, Kate Kane is Jewish.
We can sit here and deride Bendis all we want, but this
Batwoman,
dude,
you know, actually goes after meat. That,
no, and I'm not trying to deride Bendis. Like I liked a lot of his stuff. I'm just saying, like,
no, I'm not talking. I'm talking more to John up there. I'm looking at your picture in the corner there, pal. But this dude,
John is seething. You know, he's like,
he set the tone for the Avengers post Civil War, or even not even post Civil War, post fucking.
No, he came. He
came in before, didn't
he? Yeah, he was the writer behind Avengers Disassembled.
Yeah. Which was 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff is all of the.
But
the,
he made the Avengers
stuff
more popular than they ever were prior to that. Like, you can't. It's like, whether you like his run or not, you cannot argue that.
I'm not
going to
argue that at all.
The Avengers.
He made Luke Cage.
That doesn't mean that he
he did. He made Luke Cage mainstream.
I'm not doubting you. I'm not doubting either statement. It's just, you know, what do you do when something becomes more popular and you dislike it?
Is that a real question? Being rhetorical.
Well, no, I'm
that's
just
the nature of life, and you just deal with it.
I think
New Avengers. I will say that New Avengers.
Even if you think some of his influences is negative, like even the positive stuff that came out of Marvel, I think in the last 15 or so years has been, you can directly trace back to Brian Michael Bendis's work. Like, you know, like the Daredevil stuff that led to I can't remember his name now. Who took over Brubaker? The Brubaker Daredevil stuff, which led to the Brubaker Captain America stuff, which led to all this, you know, which led directly to Captain America Winter Soldier, the movie. Like, you know, that would not I think happened without Bendis then leading Bendis' Daredevil leading into Brubaker, Daredevil leading into Brubaker.
So does Bendis also get credit for Wolverine and the X-Men and the young X-Men coming forward in time? And then Avengers versus X-Men.
Axis. Does he get credit for all that too? There's bad stuff. There's good stuff.
Fear itself. Woo!
That was Taser. I'm about to drop you from the call. So let's wrap up our final thoughts and let's get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
Holy shit, Bendis. Bendis has been a trendsetter for better or worse. In the Marvel universe. It won't be the same without him there because you always would expect the new batch of books to come out and Bendis would be on something, and to not see him on a Marvel book will kind of be surreal almost.
And to see him on a DC book is going to be super weird.
Yeah, to see his name next to the DC logo will be trippy as all hell, but I am here for it because Bendis...
He's never even written DC before. He's never written for DC, period.
No, he has. He did a... It was an anthology series. It was basically a...
Was it Vertigo?
No, it wasn't Vertigo. It was a Batman Elseworlds story where it was sort of like it was Citizen Wayne instead of Citizen.
All right. Yeah.
He's written one thing
for DC 20 years ago, like
yeah. So
and even that was an Elseworlds tale. Like that's not really like
yeah, no kidding.
Anything.
It's still written.
No, you're
for
right.
DC,
you're right. You're right. But like he's not like written a DC comic book.
Proper continuity, mainstream continuity. Maybe depending on what book they give.
On a consistent basis, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
So as you were saying, Ben.
I compare this to when Jack Kirby left Marvel in the seventies to do DC and created the New Gods. So who knows what could happen? Like it's
and that's obviously because I saw the comparison elsewhere too. That's obviously not saying Brian Michael Bendis is as good as Jack Kirby. We all know that, and let's just make that clear.
As bitter of a leave as Jack Kirby did, because Lord knows, I think Jack Kirby is much known that Jack Kirby left on a bitter note when he left.
I was going to say, does this mean we're going to get Arachnid Lass or something like that, some cheap knockoff of the property he was working on before he left, and just we're going to get all kinds of cheap knockoffs?
By the way, you know who is Jewish? It's Felicity Smoke from Green Arrow.
Oh my god, if he brings her into continuity, I'm going to fucking
The actress
him.
Or the character?
The character. The character.
Yeah, she's the character. Yeah, she's plastique, isn't she?
She's blonde booty chick.
Yeah.
In the comic, she's plastique.
No, that's Aunt Susie.
But,
so this whatever. Means we're going to see Brian Michael Bendis and Geoff Johns butt heads. This ought to be fun.
Well, Geoff Johns is a movie guy now. He doesn't
write
comics
anymore. He's the chief creative officer. He's not writing the comic books.
Yeah. He's joking about his position.
I'm glad I noticed that the quality actually went up.
Fuck off.
Sorry.
Well, all I can say is this. There've been stuff that had Bendis' footprint on it that I didn't have a problem with. There were also a lot of things that I didn't touch that had his footprint on it, but I looked at from afar and went, nope. I can't honestly say that I'm disappointed to see him go, and I can't really say that I'm happy to see him go because I honestly don't follow writers like that. You know, I follow titles. I follow characters. I can honestly, all I do is I hope he does well over at DC, and I hope he doesn't end up suffering burnout.
Don't fuck it up.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the most you can hope for any, you know, big creative person, you know, when they come into a new company, you know, and they're gonna have access to like all of it, most likely.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Because he's gonna be like. Yeah. The go-to, what Geoff Johns was before he was chief creative officer, was going to be like, he's basically like, I think on some level, like to let him get his toes wet. But after, like, once he's got his feet wet, it's going to be like, okay, now, Brian, we're going to look at you for the next like six events.
Yeah, Brian.
Okay, here it is. It's a 6-part series set in Boston, Massachusetts. Stay with me on this, okay? Because it's going to be a scorcher. Matt Damon is the painter's reference for the man. Main character of the story, all right?
Jeez.
I like how you went full Boston on that.
That's because he had
guy,
that in the back of his head.
Guy,
there you go.
Right? Hang on, let me tell you about this fucking kid, all right? This fucking kid, he's going to save the fucking world, guy, all right? Now we're going on.
How about them apples?
Okay.
Run out of Dunkin's. Get me a coffee, huh? Go on.
I will say this. As much as I have given shit on Bendis over the years, Lord knows y'all have heard me on the podcast for years. Yeah. I do respect his talent because, like I said, I'm going to miss his ultimate, you know, his Miles Morales Spider-Man or Peter Parker Spider-Man. He always had a good grip on the character, either version, and I never was upset with it. I loved his initial run on the X-Men when he brought the original five into the, you know, into the present time. But then when Children of the Atom came in, I tapped out and left because it got to be a big pile of shit. And I liked the first initial storyline he did for Invincible Iron Man. Then it went to shit. That's the only problem I have with him lately. He starts out really strong and then just goes bleh. And then Infamous Iron Man, I couldn't even get past the first issue. And I'm glad to see him go. I hope that a change of locale will get him up and running again. Because you know what? I got to thinking about it while everybody was talking. I would love to see him do a Batman title with John Romita Jr. Just, you know, throwing it out there. You know? I think, he does that street level.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Romita is at DC. He's...
I know. I'm just thinking Batman done by JRJR. It's not the first time he done it.
He did it for Scott Snyder's Metal.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, he did. Well, he did a Batman arc last year. It featured Two-Face.
I don't read Batman. Okay, so.
Well, that's your problem, Taser. Right.
It's not a problem.
We're letting you know that Romita did draw a six-issue arc of Batman last year.
All right.
Yeah. But he also did.
It's weird. It's weird as fuck. To me, the Romita thing's weirder than the fucking Bendis thing because I can't. It's just so whatever. I'm done.
Okay, let's hear from
him. He did one of the two Batman Punisher crossovers they did back in the late '90s, and was
really
awesome. Yeah, and I think if you got Bendis concentrating, you know, on the street level, like he's really good at, do like something like Gotham, you know. PCD of whatever that was like it was, you know, do a variation of that, have him and Romita, I think you're probably going to have a title that's going to be knocked out of the park. And it would be different enough that I would be interested in it, but it would also show him doing a take on one of the more well-known DC characters, you know, in a way. I would buy that. Now, I don't know if I want to see him on Justice League or something like that because I'd be kind of scared, you know, to some of his later stuff on Avengers.
Coming soon to DC Comics, Justice League, disassembled.
Yes. And we got the new Justice League, and he'll just bring back the Detroit lineup.
Oh, that's cold.
Dude. Batman is just super Catholic now.
Yeah, and he believes in God and angels. And he trusts Superman. There you go.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate difference, yeah. But otherwise...
All right, I think we've all gotten our words.
We got it, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. So, Kuhan, plug your shit so we can get
www.iamkuhan.com where you can find all my stuff. I do some Twitch streaming at twitch.tv/KuhanLuke. Mostly like live streams of podcasts and real life stuff, but sometimes I'll also stream a couple of video games here and there. That's it.
Brian, plug our Facebook shit.
I'm busy right now, but as soon as I got some free time, it's all my stuff's at iamkuhan.com, and
32 pages.
You just need to hassle me on that one, Ben. As soon as
hold on.
Do that show.
Aren't you still doing Corecast?
Corecast is currently running. All that's on, everything is on my page at iamkuhan.com. That's why I had the page, so I don't have to plug individual things. But yeah, Corecast.
Yeah, you know what you guys can do with all these questions about his podcast? You can go to the website and see what podcast he's doing, and then that will tell you what he's doing with podcasts.
Corecast. It's a Green Lantern-based podcast, because we're all Green Lantern fans. I'm saying we are all.
And if you go to www.thegreenlanterncore.com, you can find all of Ben's reviews of the currently running Green Lantern comic books because he writes reviews for the site.
There we go.
Yep. You can find the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast on Facebook. We are at the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We post news all the fucking time. The episodes are posted there. We got a WordPress page, mightywarriors3.wordpress.com or something to that effect. You Google search us. We're pretty much the top result for Mighty Warriors 3 WordPress, so go ahead and Google if need be. I am on the Twitter sphere at No Mr. Powers. What was that? What was that, John?
Nothing. I was being sarcastic. Don't worry about it.
All right. I'm on Twitter at No Mr. Powers, and you can probably still find some of us around occasionally on the GreenLanticore.com message board where we all met and, you know, conspired about shit and should still be.
I'm still a moderator. I don't think I've logged in about 6 months.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
I'm not a mod, though, but I haven't.
But yeah, like I said, primarily you can find everything through the Facebook page at the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We post the news there, post every new episode there, or the WordPress page. Come find us. And Twitter at No Mr. Powers. There you go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I had something to say.
Okay.
Oh, fine. Oh,
hey there, buddy. Have you heard the news?
I'm on Facebook, too.
You are?
Yes. Okay, that's it. That's all I had to say.
Wow. If I actually wasn't lazy, I would just edit that part out. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed. Come back in 2 weeks where we'll be back to our regular schedule program. Uh-huh. Obviously not talking about the Bendis thing, but we got plenty of other things to talk about because I'm pretty sure you know what? I can promise this because unlike the other Agents of Shit and disastrous ABC TV shows that are on, next episode I'll give a fucking review of the first Runaways episode because I got Hulu finally, so hey, fuck it.
I'll watch it today, just so you know. You
Punisher.
We'll save Punisher for a special edition. We ain't talking Punisher till we finish it all, okay?
We won't be doing Justice League because that comes out in 2 weeks.
This isn't a DC podcast.
We're not a DC podcast.
D-Cups!
I mean, I feel like I'm the only one in America who's excited for Justice League, but whatever, fuck it. I just spent all my day watching Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and Wonder Woman. That's fine. Really? Okay.
Why did you watch Batman v Superman again?
Because I unlike, because Kuhan, we've been over this. I actually like the
if
damn movie.
If you
want to
hear
okay?
Ben and I do a commentary on that movie,
I would love to see MarvelZiggy.wordpress.com. MarvelZiggy.wordpress.com.
You can go and find me and Ben and Mr. Dragon talking about
about
that garbage. Stop. Garbage.
Was Joe on that one? Joe was on that one too,
I think,
right?
Joe was on that one, yeah.
Can I review?
Yeah, he's a fourth guy. And we do a commentary for it when it comes out. But Dragon, and I haven't done a comment. We have two commentaries recorded that haven't released because we're trying to get more.
Let's finally do another 32 pages about it. Let's bring back 32 pages and talk about Justice League.
Can I just say?
I'm gonna text Kuhan once a day. So we're doing 32 pages.
Man, if you bug me about it, I'll be like, cool. I'm free on. I was gonna say Tuesday, but Tuesday.
See,
the
thing is, though, like I hate harassing people.
Okay,
I can't. I hate harassing
podcast
people.
Podcast politics for the show after show. Thank you very much. That's right, Warriors After Dark, coming to you from a live studio audience.
Where we talk about.
All right, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. We'll see you all in 2 weeks for another episode of the Mighty Warriors Cinema Podcast. Hashtag stay marvelous.
Hashtag Thor 3 sucks.
Hashtag MAGA, make Asgard great again. Hella, it's gonna get
you
all
realize
the
I'm not keeping
into shape.